This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Covering a lot of diverse topics around the Umpqua Valley, and we're going to talk about forest bridges today. Executive Director Denise Barrett, thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Great to be back.
Yeah. So, first of all, since it's been a while, why don't you give folks an overall reminder about what your organization is all about?
Sure. Forest Bridges, the ONC Forest Habitat Project. We were founded here in Roseburg and continue to maintain our office here in Roseburg. We are a collaborative, a grassroots collaborative, that really is emphasizing shifting the paradigm of management on the ONC lands of Western Oregon. We bring people together from all different perspectives, which I know we'll go into a little bit later. But essentially, we're trying to foster healthier, sustainable forests and habitats through active management and restoration solutions.
And how long has Forest Bridges been around?
Yeah, our founders got together in 2015, and then in 2019, we became a formalized 501c3 charity organization, and I came aboard 3 years ago.
And what's it been like for the last 3 years?
It's been really interesting and profound. And by that, I mean it's been incredible work for our organization as we become more formalized. And we started to jump into the planning space with the BLM and the Forest Service, which was a great experience and eye-opening for us. We've continued to do work in developing the public part of our organization in terms of public engagement and communications, which I think has now given us a little bit more visibility and notoriety. And now we're shifting gears a little bit whilst doing those other activities. We're shifting gears to work in the legislative space.
So talk about some of the community engagement, some of the policy work you've been doing in the last few months.
Yeah, I think let's just start with public engagement and communications. We have, last year we started a social media project called Youth Bridges to Forest, and our tribal liaison, a member of the Siletz tribe, was our lead voice in that. We created dozens of videos on active conservation management, including a lot on what we mean by our combination of ecological forestry and indigenous knowledge and practice. We also had a very successful field tour with Andrew Merschel, who is the co-director of the Tree Ring Lab at Oregon State University. And we brought together more than 40 people. Again, what was wonderful, it was representatives from industry, conservation, the scientific community, and a lot of students. So we went out to the moist forests west of Eugene and talked about fire ecology and the changing science that's really telling us some new things.
Now, you're working as well with some ideas for the legislature to kind of put forward your idea of active management, specifically on the ONC lands. How is that going? What's taking place?
Yeah, so our legislative concepts are an evolution from our what we call principles of agreement, so collaboratively developed principles of agreement, and then also buttressed by our science papers, which are policy papers underpinned by consensus Western science, as well as indigenous knowledge and practice, as well as field practitioner experience. So that kind of gives you the background context. So we've developed these legislative concepts based on that, and we've started to engage. Well, in the last 6 months, we've had several engagements with several members of our congressional delegation. We've gone deeper with some of the staff to say, well, you know, what would that look like if we were to develop these concepts into a piece of legislation? Now, a lot of people will say, what are you trying to do, change the ONC law? No, we're not trying to change the ONC law, the Act of 1937. We're trying to create a standalone piece of legislation which embodies all the principles that we really feel would be able to not only benefit the health of these forests and their sustainability, but also to address issues we know are on the financial side, as well as the side that helps to support the counties.
Now, do you feel like you're making progress and having an impact as an organization?
I think anybody that knows about policy knows that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I know you're a marathoner, and so we are in let's say the long race in terms of our overall what we call 21st century model of active conservation management for the ONC lands, and that is going to take a lot of work to be able to get that piece of legislation going. Especially we can talk about the climate that we're in politically, but there are parts of our principles and our legislative concepts that are built on those where we can see some activity going on, where we can, for example, we don't have to start the coalition, but we can be a part of a coalition, for example, that wants to advance prescribed fire and cultural burning on the lands in a sensitive way with specific notations around how the ONC should be managed. We can see a whole bunch of other things about air quality when we have all these wildfires and wildfire smoke, and so on and so forth. So there's always legislation going on. I mean, sometimes there's a piece of legislation 10 years old that reappears, as has in the recent times. So I think those who work in policy really know that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Now, are there other forest-type organizations that you interact with often?
Yeah, you can go to our website, forestbridges.org, and you can see that in addition to our board, we have a council of advisors and a group of independent scientists and ecological reviewers. And so they represent a lot of different organizations. But beyond that, we on the timber side, we American Forest Resources Council. On the conservation side, it might be the Sustainable Northwest and the Nature Conservancy, and the tribes. And we have a lot of engagement with the tribes. So we cut across a lot of different areas with Oregon State University College of Forestry. We're in contact with a lot of the scientists there, and a lot of their work is represented within our strategies, our policies.
Now, one of the things about your organization is really the diversity of the framework. I mean, just a casual viewing of your board, for example.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I think we believe that without a grassroots collaborative in which you have agreement and a growing group of people that can be in agreement on the principles and the strategies for managing the ONC lands, without that, so we're really solutions-based. So without that, you might run the risk of, quick fixes, political pendulum going back and forth. And so, this is why we're staying on the long haul. And we want to be able to grow our organization and advance our policies in a way that really, stick to it and can really help us shift this paradigm.
Now, with the current Trump administration, how has that impacted this whole area of forest management?
We're unwavering. So a lot of things are coming. I was thinking about it this morning. It's not just a fire hose. It really is a tsunami of change rapidly going on. And we're really managing it into where we can best serve. An example would be, I was on the phone with Doug Robertson last week. He's the head of the Association of ONC Counties. And we talked about a number of things. We're concerned, for example, that the One Big Beautiful Bill, 800 and some odd pages of it. We didn't read all of it, but we did obviously hone in on what the forestry side is and what the conservation side is. And we said, so the idea that you're going to increase timber harvest, generally speaking, is not necessarily a bad thing. Putting it into 20-year contracts, maybe on the surface, doesn't sound like it'd be a problem. But when you start looking at it deeper and the fact that the revenues are supposed to go directly into the treasury, you start to step back and you say, well, for the ONC counties, that's going to be a challenge. They can't tax. There's no tax revenue coming from the federal lands in our ONC counties. And so they're reliant on timber harvest, especially. There's been some workarounds, of course, with Secure Rural School schools and PILT, but honestly, we saw that wasn't there, and so I spoke to Doug Robertson about it, and I said, we as Forest Bridges want the ONC counties to be whole. We want the revenues as designed in the ONC Act to go to them, even in a stewardship contract format, maybe if it isn't completely 50% of the revenues, at least something that the counties can put in the coffers for vital community services.
And I think that's one of the aspects of that kind of came and went without a lot of people noticing it.
Yeah, I was just in Washington a couple of weeks ago, and I was there for the 9th American Forest Congress, but Congressman Bentz was up on the Hill opening his door to me, and we talked about that. And in fact, he just came out with his newsletter today for those who might subscribe to that. And he said, there's some wins and losses. You can't get everything that you want, but he knows this is a big issue. How are we going to sustain our counties if we can't find the resources? There's a disconnect between, managing forests so that you can, both sustain their health and their economic benefit to our rural communities.
Anybody have an idea of why that provision went in, that all the money would go to the federal level and not stay with going to counties?
I don't have an answer to that, Kyle, but we definitely are raising the question. And, it looks like, from Doug's perspective, when I spoke with him, that it would be a legislative response to that. You'd have to basically create a piece of legislation, a rider or something, to be able to address that. But a lot of us who care about these ONC lands are speaking up about it.
All right, Denise Barrett with us on Inside Douglas County. Back in a moment to continue the conversation, the interview podcast after 1 at 541 Radio. Radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. State Representative Virgil Osborne on tomorrow for Inside Douglas County. And still working on some programs. We're hoping to get Congressman Bentz on with us soon. Congresswoman Hoyle as well, now that the House is recessed. We have got Denise Barrett of Forest Bridges in talking about this. And I know, when you look at how things are shifting in Washington, D.C., it's almost some days it's almost like a soap opera.
Yeah, I guess you could really say that. And I think just stepping back, it's good that there's some catalyst here to try to shift what's been going on. But I think it's not in a balanced way, and it just continues to raise concerns for us of future litigation, continued conflict between the main groups that have the vested interest in our forest health.
Well, and a lot of times from both sides of the aisle, people may say things or put out orders or documents, but the reality is it's not just, you can't just make an immediate change. There's a whole lot of people in the federal forestry area. You've got multiple agencies that are impacted, and it just doesn't turn on a dime.
No, I know. I mean, I'm an organizational developer, and to see all the reorganization, for example, that's going on with the Forest Service, the National Wild and Fire consolidation, all that is, those are things that take a long time. It's not that they're not necessary, but you can lose a lot of ground by not really doing it properly.
Now, you've got a lot of things we've talked about. I want to mention a special event that you guys are tied in with that seems pretty unique. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're happy to say that we've teamed up a couple of months ago, actually, now, but for a September 9th concert out at the Rock Creek, the Mill Pond Recreation Site at Rock Creek, Idlewild Wild Park. We're partnering with the In a Landscape organization, Jane Ratzlaff, whose husband was one of our co-founders and is, a really great community member and philanthropist, and also the Family Development Center of Roseburg. It'll be on September 9th from 5 to 6:30, although the public can go earlier. Unfortunately, it's not a free concert. The In a Landscape organization and their leader, Hunter Nowak, he's a concert pianist. He's going to bring out on a flatbed truck I think it's 1912 Steinway piano, grand piano. And the concept that he brought into his organization as he started it 10 years ago was really to bring classical music to more people by having it out in beautiful landscapes. We feel really fortunate that we have an opportunity. It's not a fundraiser really for us, but it's an opportunity for us to be able to show people 5 years down the road post Archer Creek fire what those landscapes look like, and also to be able to share potential solutions that we we have that we've put together in order to be able to make sure that doesn't happen again.
And just as somebody who works with a lot of events myself, the idea that you're going to take a large Steinway and put it where? you know, that's... and they've got a track record, though. I mean, this is not a special event that somebody came up with. I mean, this organization, I took a brief look at their website. I mean, this is what they do, at least part of the year.
Yeah, it looks like they put together about 50 to 60 concerts, largely out west. I think most in Oregon and in Washington. And so they have a long schedule. And they basically even devised their stage, the way they carry it in the trailer, it actually then becomes the stage. So they don't even actually have to move the piano.
Wow. And how do people get connected with getting opportunity to buy tickets for that?
You can go to inalandscape.org, I-N-A-L, landscape, one word, inalandscape.org. Or we are happy as Forest Bridges if you want to send us an email at info@forestbridges.org. Or you can call us at 541-908-4886. Tickets are $45 and a small processing fee. We'd be grateful to see you out there on September 9th.
And, you know, when you think about, and a lot of people have, but some people haven't, gone up the North Umpqua since Archie Creek. And I think when they do, even here we are almost 5 years later, sometimes you can be a bit startled.
Yeah, because what you need to recognize is that a lot of the wildfires that were in that region, they, you know, a lot of them started, most of them started on the federal lands, took out a lot of the private lands as well. And what's left in a lot of the federal areas, they were reserves. They were either wild and scenic river reserves, the recreation site itself is a reserve, as well as some other areas that are wilderness reserves. And so what you see is an abundance of snags and also invasive species like scotch broom. And so the whole question of how you restore a forest post-fire, especially catastrophic wildfire, is, I think, what is raised in this kind of situation.
And also for the housing aspect, I don't remember the numbers, but so many people opted not to rebuild their properties and, you know, have simply moved elsewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess you can't blame them because the description of the landscape that I just gave the public here is that it's, you know, it's rife for reburns. You know, we have, you know, a real challenging situation. We know that snags are really important in legacy post-fire to be able for the wildlife, but there's also the challenge of too many in a concentrated area that can then present itself as a wildfire hazard.
Wow. So an opportunity for people. And again, what's the date for that concert?
It's September 9th. The concert will start at 5 p.m. and end at 6:30. You'll be wearing headphones and walking about. The site is accessible, so the public will not be in danger by going to the site, but it's definitely different from their typical site.
And I forgot about the aspect of headphones. So that intrigues me a little bit to see exactly how all that works.
Yeah, so the organization in a landscape will provide the headphones, and I believe they must be remote kinds of
Bluetooth
wireless.
Right.
And so, yeah, that'll enable people to go a little bit further around. I did want to mention that it is a BLM site. The BLM has done a lot of work on Rock Creek itself. They've had a lot of restoration projects, and I know that they're working to upgrade the Rock Creek site as well as a lot of recreation sites out east.
Well, a couple minutes left on Inside Douglas County. Denise Barrett of Forest Bridges. What else do you want to share with the public in terms of maybe some of your long-range goals for what you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, I think in the legislative space, we are working really hard. The essence of what's different about Forest Bridges is that we're really trying to legislate a well-thought-out harvest strategy for dry, moist, and transitional forests of the ONC that really get us back to the densities, the structure, the composition, and the fire resilience that we saw in the pre-contact indigenous period. And we believe believe that really having our strategies of legislated harvest strategies with both requirements and limits, and then be able to address these land use allocations that really are setting up a lot of our forests for detrimental wildfire, that this is the way that we can help shift these lands into a better situation.
And if people want to find out more about what you have going on, talk about your website and how to get connected.
Yeah, please just go to forestbridges.org. It's pretty easy to get to, and you'll see through we have homepage, we have project pages, and other places where you can learn more about us.
All right, Denise Barrett, Forest Bridges, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.